Thank you, Lord, is right. We worship God, and we worship God in lots of different ways, but one of the ways is through song and music and instruments. God's in this place. You know that, don't you? God is here. We bring him here because he lives within us, and the Holy Spirit inhabits his people. So we know that God's in this place, and we're not here out of accident. We could be at Sylvan Lake. We could be somewhere else, you know. We're here because God wants us here. We're here because we need to hear from him. We're here because we're desperate. We're just desperate to feel his touch and to know that he is the real, living, genuine, authentic God. And he is. He is God. And I'm just glad to be here. I celebrate the victory of Jesus Christ. Celebrate the truth that his blood has set me free. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. There is victory. Even when it doesn't seem like it, even when it seems like you keep losing, you know, you get the, it's like playing cards. Every time you pick up the card and you don't seem to win. You know what? You don't win on your own. You will not win on your own. But with Christ, you win. He is a conqueror. He is the mighty God. He's the mighty God. His blood is powerful enough for whatever you're going through. His blood is powerful enough. He's a great and a mighty God. Hey, buddy, come here. I can't help this. Sorry, but woohoo. Hi, Jude. I want you to meet all my friends. Can you say hi? This proves that he's a good God, right? He's an amazing, amazing God. I love being a grandparent. I love, you know, even that idea how God is a father. You think about how the scriptures could have used, and they do use other metaphors, but the number one metaphor that's used for God in his relationship to us is that he's a father to his children. What does that mean? You know, it means he loves us. It means he wants to show us off. He wants to see us, you know, doing well. God wants you to do well. He does. God wants you to succeed. God wants you to overcome your sin. Not only does he want you to overcome your sin, he's provided a way for that sin to be conquered through Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. So we're here for good reason. We're here to worship a real God. He is alive, and he is genuine. And he loves you so much. At this time, you know, we always have a sharing time. We're going to hear a little bit today about Solid Ground Cafe. They're going to tell us about that ministry that's happening there and just let you know how you might be able to get involved in it more and pray for it. We're trying to see that thing, you know, do well, that thing, that cafe. I'm very articulate, yeah, I know. So, Mitch, whoever's going to share that, Mitch or Gaston or both of you, there's a microphone, yes. Bless the Lord, oh my soul.
Good morning. We are now,
he's a natural,
the disciples at Solid Ground Cafe. Pardon? Oh, I didn't think you could hear me. So Jesus said, come to the water and drink. Well, they're coming to Solid Ground Cafe and they're drinking coffee and of the Lord. We've had some really powerful times already. It's only been a month, I think, now, but Jesus is showing up there. And just like the other day, Lynn came and she goes, Mitchell, can you just please pray? I said, for what? Just to feel good. So she didn't come for a coffee. She came for a drink of Jesus, and she got it. So we're really thankful. But Jesus said, go into the marketplace, and we are in the marketplace, not just to feed them physically, but spiritually. And we're really enjoying ourselves. We just need your prayers, though, every day, because it is warfare. And we're noticing that. And I'm sure you guys are feeling that in your lives, too. But we really need your prayers. And just pass the word along that things have changed. There's different food being served, fresh homemade food. Gaston is bringing in some music. I think it's coming soon, right? Mm-hmm. Here, I'll let you say some things.
It's good to be yourself in the church. Praise the Lord for a church where you can be. You know, that place over there is just a small place. It's really four walls. And I've been asking God, what should I say about that? What we want to do there is We minister naturally, we were going to make food naturally, but we are enriched by the people that come. You know, like, we cannot do it without you. You have to come and enrich the people there. When I say enrich, is that this ministry that goes on every day there, there's many people that live upstairs that comes down. You know, we minister, we don't only serve food, the food is to attract people. We want to minister, and that's what we do. And, you know, there's the whole church that could come. We need you there. We come bring you ideas. We want to do something for, we want to minister like I, what God put in my heart to bring, we're going to bring some people, I need some people to volunteer to come in and sing. Sing maybe on Thursday afternoon and Thursday afternoon. But come and sing, or some Christian that wants to sing for an hour and a half or so. The people will come then. They will come. Now they have no reason to come. It's small. Food, you know, there's food everywhere. So if you come, then something, we can do something. We do something here. We can do something there. But there's a different populace there. There's ministry. Our heart is to minister. We want to save the soul and influence people, love them, serve. So, amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Okay, so we know that we're hearing that there's ministry happening at the Solid Ground Cafe. We know that these guys need your prayer. It's a hard job, and yet we believe as a church that it's an important ministry, and it's a way to reach more people, and it's a way to build ministry. So we're going to pray for unity. We're going to pray for God to bring people in. We're thankful for some great improvements in the menu. That's awesome. And we're already hearing lots of good responses to that menu, and just that it'll be a light that shines. Would you join me and pray for these guys? Thank you, Lord, that you give us all these opportunities in different and new ways sometimes to shine your light. And I pray that that cafe will truly be solid ground. It'll be a place where people who are stumbling around and who are in the quicksand of life will find a solid place to stand, Lord. And people who may never come to church, but they'll come to a cafe, and they get to be prayed for or get to hear that Jesus Christ cares and loves them, Lord. So we want to see you, Lord, blessing this. We need your hand in this. We need your direction, Lord. These two men need you to stand beside them, to encourage them. I pray that they'll just fight off any spirit of discouragement, that they'll be united in the work they do together, that they will be shining the light of Jesus Christ. I thank you, Lord, for Laura and for Anita and for others who work there. And Terry, yeah. And Lord, for more volunteers to come in too, that they can come in and just be a part of this, Lord, as well. We need your blessing. And you're the one who said, God, that if we need wisdom, we should ask for it. So we're asking for it right now, God. We're not ashamed. We're not afraid to ask for it. We need wisdom. We need direction. We need your discernment. So I pray, Lord, you'll give these guys wisdom, that they will hear from you. They'll know where you're going and where you're directing this to be, Lord. We serve a living God, so just show us, Lord, how alive you are. You're a God of revelation. You make yourself known. Make yourself known at solid ground. And Lord, for the 71 units, the people who live above it, I pray that this will also be just solid ground for them, Lord. This is a ground floor cafe. Let it be ground floor for many people who are struggling there, that they come in and get to know Gaston. They come and get to know Mitch and others as well. And Lord, that their lives will be changed, because you are the life changer, Jesus. So we submit to you, God. None of this is going to work without you. And we trust you, God, because you have proven to us over and over again that we can trust you. You never forsake us. You never let us down. And so we thank you and worship you today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen?
Thank you.
Thanks, God. Amen. We're going to open up God's Word, but I thought this morning, just before I open up God's Word and read it to you, that maybe there's a verse or a passage or just something that God's been saying to you. You know, we don't ask that question enough. I think it's part of my responsibility to ask you that once in a while. You know, what has God been saying to you? What has God been teaching you? And I want to just be kind of clear here. We're not looking for more sermons. Okay, we're going to get one of those. So don't think you need to do that. But just share the word. You don't need to interpret it. Just what has God been saying? What is there a passage or a psalm or something that God has been really impressing on your heart in the last little while? And I just want you to stand up and share. You may need to speak loudly. So, Scotty, you can go first, please. What's God saying in his word? Amen. Perfect love casts out fear. Thank you, God. What are you saying to us, God? Speak, word. Speak, word, speak.
He's always talking about the blood with me and with other people too. But my favorite Bible verse is Hebrews 13:5, mm-hmm. who's brought me through hell and high water, whatever you want to say, running gas bars in Calgary and people coming in, and I had a little blackboard in the back and I had Hib 13:5, and they would come and say, well, what's Hib 13:5? And this is so good. I will never, never leave you. I will never, ever forsake you.
Yes,
he will never leave you.
Amen. Bill?
It's about love. Definitely about love now. He's teaching me how to be a father again to a spiritual daughter. He's ripping my heart out and putting it right back in the places of where it belongs.
Yeah.
I've never seen such growth in others in my life. It's about love for every last one of us.
Amen.
And he is building us strong. Trust in him. Open yourselves to it. Really, really trust in him.
Amen. Love one another as I have loved you, right? And for God so loved the world. Karen.
So along this theme, God has been giving me verses on unfailing love. And Psalms 32 says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you and watch over you. The Lord's unfailing love surrounds the man who trusts in him.
Wow. Thank you. Isn't that good? Isn't it good that we do this? God's unfailing love. We've got two here. Yes, Marilise and then Dawn.
You know, Jesus said that if you believe in me, and they are saying that if you believe that God raised him from the dead, and he said if you believe that God raised him from the dead, that he died and he raised from the dead, he said you will be saved. And I want to tell you where you can find this in the Bible, that his truth will set you free. But then if you read John 19, verse 31 to 42, this you will learn about the death of Jesus. And if you read about John 20, verse 1 to 30, you will read about the resurrection of Jesus.
Amen.
That you will know that Jesus came on earth to be an example for us, and he died for us, and he was resurrected. And the Bible said that the word of the Bible our truth, and that the truth of the word of God will set you free. And I pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen.
Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word.
Wow. Thanks. If anyone loves me, he'll keep my word. Joycelyn.
Matthew 6:34, it says, so don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. It's all about learning how to let go and let God work day by day.
Each day has enough trouble of its own, Matthew says. Don't worry about tomorrow. You got enough to worry about today. You guys don't need to worry about tomorrow. Go ahead, Chris.
This week, Proverbs 31, verses 8 and 9 really spoke to me. Because sometimes we question what it is we're doing. And it says, speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, for the rights of all who are destitute. Speak up and judge fairly and defend the rights of the poor and the needy.
Wow. And you're doing that. Thank you, Jesus.
We've all been feeling the attack of the enemy, but the Lord keeps bringing me back to this scripture in Corinthians. Thank you. Thank you, brother.
It's my job.
For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, for pulling down strongholds,
yes, Lord,
casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts, yes, itself against the knowledge of God, mm-hmm, bringing every one of our thoughts into captivity to the obedience of Christ. So, Father, we just thank, mm-hmm, you that the enemy has no place. Lord, we all join together, and we ask you to bring every one of our thoughts obedient to the mind of Christ, Lord, that the enemy will have no way in.
Yeah.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. We needed to hear that. Another one. Or is this you? Well, I thought you were pointing at Joycelyn again. No.
Proverbs 27:19 says, as water reflects the face, so one's life reflects the heart. And I think it's interesting that God didn't say, just as the moon reflects the sun, or just as shiny things reflect light or something. He said water reflects the face, and it's about looking at yourself. And if you want to change your life, you got to change your heart first.
That's good. Thank you, God, for your word. What does the psalm say? It says, your word is a lamp unto my feet, and it's a light to my pathway. We need God's word. We need to be in God's word. We need to listen to God's word. We need to read it more. We're not reading it enough. We need to be in God's word. All of us do. We're not doing it enough. Got a couple more? Garth, stand up and just say it loudly. By the time I get there.
Hebrews 10. I can't even read this. Hebrews 10:25. Forsake not the gathering together, as is the habit of some, but encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. We need to encourage each other.
Good word. Thank you. Yeah. Okay, I got you in the back.
And she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sin. God saved me from a horrific accident on Friday. I was going through a green light, and I just saw this black thing. And how I even saw it, this car, medium-sized sport car coming, is just God, eh? And I just punched the brakes really hard like that, and I had a passenger from this church on board. And I just, like that, and he just went right in front of me at a red light. And I just, whoa, I just, thank you, Jesus, right away, eh? It was just like, and I was just, it would have been a horrific crash, like, praise God, he saved.
Jesus saves.
Go ahead.
It's okay. One more. What is God saying to you in his word? Yeah, Dirk.
Very simple question.
Okay, amen. Thanks, Dirk. You got something? No. She's the only person I can do that with. Apparently it's no, but she's been telling me all week what God's been saying to her. But we just need to surrender. Surrendering to God. Let God be in control. Stop fighting it. Stop thinking that you can do it. You can't do it. Only God can do it. And I don't know, that's a message I've needed to hear, and maybe it's something you got to hear today too. There's a lot of battles going on. Mitch is right. That there's an attack of the enemy that, like, I haven't seen for a long time. We've been talking about it and praying about it. And, yeah, on one level you go, well, that's a compliment. It means we're doing what we should be doing. But, man, that's not easy. It's really hard. And there's a lot of there's people who aren't here today that we need to be praying for because they're really struggling and they're turning away from God. They just think God's let them down. Just hear this today, that God is in control. You are not in control. You can trust him. He has proven that you've trusted him in the past. He's always been faithful. You can't take matters into your own hands. Stop trying to do that. Just pray. Pray and seek God. So let's bow our heads now. Just thank God for his word. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Really, it is a light and it's a lamp and it shines the way. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the things that were shared today, just a reminder about love.
what it really means to love, what it really looks like to love with the love of Jesus. And I pray today with my brothers and sisters here, we pray for people who aren't here, for the ones that are struggling, for the ones that are hurting, for Joya and Rick and Kim and for Al, and Lord, the list could go on. And we're not ashamed to mention their names because these are family. These are people who belong to you, God. We will not forget them, Lord. And we know that you never forsake, you never leave them, like Don said. So God, today we pray that we'll be challenged to be in your word and that we'll remember again, because we've known this in the past, but we just have forgotten. But we'll remember again that there's power in your word and that we need your word not just once a week and not just when some guy speaks on Sunday. We need your word speaking to us and directing our paths every single day of the week, and that we need to be part of that, Lord. So I pray that your Holy Spirit will move in our hearts and just confirm that truth and remind us that your word is the greatest treasure. It is such a treasure for us, and it's so your Spirit speaking to us and giving us complete direction in our lives. Thank you, God. May we be lovers of your word and doers of your word. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
The last couple Sundays. Yes, sir. Really? God is love. And someone needs to hear that today, I'm thinking. Maybe we all need to be reminded of that. God is love. That's how he describes himself. It's the word, you know. God is love. Maybe there's someone here today that's doubting that and wondering whether God really loves you. He does. He really does. Just talking about Moses and that whole story about how God sets his people free from the hand of the Egyptians. And we're into that story for the last few weeks. We're going to just talk about it a little bit more today. And I don't know if you remember last Sunday very well or not, but we were talking about how there's a lot of people who just don't have hope. That hope is, for some people, just a dangerous thing, and they don't even dare to hope. Especially if you've been beaten up a lot or you just keep falling back into that pit. And sometimes you get to a point in your life where, you know, you don't have hope. You don't dare hope because your hopes have been dashed so many times that... you know, that it's just hard to hope again. And that in a real sense, that's where the Israelites were. They had been in bondage under the domination of the Egyptians for over 400 years. And during that period of 400 years, and that was generation after generation after generation of people who were bred in hopelessness. There was no hope. They didn't think they were ever going to get out of Egypt. They didn't think they were ever going to, you know, stop doing the work of slaves that they were called to do. And we talked about that last Sunday about how, you know, there's not only the Egyptians, not only the Israelites were that way, but there's a lot of people in our lives. There's people that we see in the kitchen. I think Chris would agree with this. You know, we see people coming off the streets, and they, you know, we can talk about hope, but they don't get it. They don't understand hope. They don't believe hope because it's never worked for them. They've only had their hopes dashed. And that we need to be that light that we were talking about and just show people that there really is hope. And I know that there's some of you here today that have been through that, just that darkness. You know, some of you have come out of addiction, and I'm not going to point you out, but you've come out of addictions where you used to be in that place. I don't know what you're sitting there for. You sat there last Sunday. Now you're sitting there. I can't keep up with you. So please stay in your same seat, okay? Sorry, that was off track a little bit. But, you know, it's about hope that some of you who have been through that hope, he thinks I don't notice these things. You know, when you have the credibility to say to someone who's struggling with alcohol or with crack or meth or whatever, just to say, you know what, I was where you are. I know what you feel like. I know that it seems dark and dismal and that you'll never get out of it. It isn't true. That's the lie of the enemy. The enemy wants you to believe that there's no way you're ever going to move forward. And if you believe that, you will never move forward. And he's got you. He just got you exactly where he wants you. We have a message of hope, right? That's what the word says. We have the message of hope. We have the message that Jesus Christ, he's actually overcome this enemy. He has defeated the enemy. He has died on the cross. He's rose again. Yeah, there's hope. Thank you. Got a few people cheering. This is an exciting time. We move on to the next part of that story, and we're going to look at Exodus chapter 5. So you know where we were, now we're moving into Exodus chapter 5. God has told Moses, he said, okay, Moses, again, remember, Moses didn't want to go. Over and over again, every time Moses talks to God, he's reluctant. Oh, not me, I don't want to go. I speak with unfaltering lips, Moses says. You know, send someone else, God, don't send me. Finally, God sends Aaron and Moses, and he sends them to Pharaoh, and he says, I want you to go to Pharaoh, Moses, and this is what I want you to say. Look Pharaoh right in the eyes and say, let my people go. Okay, God. And so he does that. Let's read this. It's a great story. Exodus chapter 5. Let's just back up to the last part of chapter 4 to put this in context. Verse 29, that Moses and Aaron brought together all the elders of the Israelites, and Aaron told them everything that the Lord had said to Moses. And he also performed the signs before the people. Remember, we talked about that, that God confirms his word with wonders and with signs. He did that with Moses and Aaron. He performed those signs before the people. And they believed, the people believed. And when they heard that the Lord was concerned about them and had seen their misery, they bowed down and worshipped. Now we move into verse chapter 5. Afterward, Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and said, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Let my people go, so that they may hold a festival to me in the desert. And Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey him and let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, and I will not let Israel go. Then they said, the God of the Hebrews has met with us. Now let us take a 3-day journey into the desert to offer sacrifices to the Lord our God, or he may strike us with plagues or with the sword. But the king of Egypt said, Moses and Aaron, why are you taking the people away from their labor? Get back to your work. Then Pharaoh said, look, the people of the land are now numerous, and you are stopping them from working. You can see that Pharaoh's got one thing on his mind here, right? Work. That same day, Pharaoh gave this order to the slave drivers and the foreman in charge of the people. You are no longer to supply the people with straw for making bricks. Let them go and gather their own straw, but require them to make the same number of bricks as before. Don't reduce the quota. They are lazy. That is why they are crying out, let us go and sacrifice to our God. Make the work harder for the men so that they keep working and pay no attention to the lies. Then the slave drivers and the foreman went out and said to the people, this is what Pharaoh says, I will not give you any more straw. Go and get your own straw wherever you can find it, but your work will not be reduced at all. And so the people scattered all over Egypt to gather stubble to use for straw. The slave drivers kept pressing them, saying, complete the work required of you for each day, just as when you had straw. And the Israelite foremen appointed by Pharaoh's slave drivers were beaten and were asked, why didn't you meet your quota of bricks yesterday or today as you did before? Then the Israelite foreman went and appealed to Pharaoh. Why have you treated your servants this way? Your servants are given no straw, and yet we are told, make bricks. Your servants are being beaten, but the fault is with your own people. And Pharaoh said, lazy. That's what you are, lazy. And that's why you keep saying, let's go and sacrifice to the Lord. Now get to work, and you will not be given any straw, yet you must produce your full quota of bricks. And the Israelite foreman realized that they were in trouble when they were told, you are not to reduce the number of bricks required of you for each day. And when they left Pharaoh, they found Moses and Aaron waiting to meet them. And they said, may the Lord look upon you and judge you. You have made us a stench to Pharaoh and his officials and have put a sword in their hand to kill us. And Moses returned to the Lord and he said, O Lord, why? Why have you brought trouble upon this people? Is this why you sent me? Ever since I went to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has brought trouble upon this people, and you have not rescued your people at all. Pharaoh wasn't about to let that valuable commodity of the Israelite nation go. They were great workers. They were building his pyramids. They were building his kingdom. And Pharaoh had no intention of letting them go. Even though God, through Moses and Aaron, came to Pharaoh and said, "Let my people go." Pharaoh said, "No way," you know, and he actually, you know, he has the who question. The who question is, well, who is this God? Who is the Lord that I would know him? I don't even know who you're talking about. You know, I don't even know who this is. I think that it's a word about how the enemy is relentless in chasing after us and not willing to release us. And what we have, the picture that I read and that we have before us this morning is really, it's an earthly picture. It's an actual historical event, but it is very much symbolic of the spiritual battle that's going on, and that Pharaoh represents the enemy, our enemy, the devil, Satan. And that we have that same, in fact, maybe in this passage, we get one of the clearest pictures of how Satan operates, not just how Pharaoh operates, but how Satan functions in terms of warring against us, in terms of his attitude towards God, when he goes, "Well, who is God? I don't even know who it is." And in terms of how he won't release us, and he has such a hard time allowing people who have been set free to remain free. That's what we want to talk about to start with today. You need to understand this, that if you've given your heart to the Lord, and there's some of you who have just done that recently, there's a battle going on. There is a battle going on that goes beyond what you can even imagine, and that the enemy, Pharaoh, or the enemy, Satan, he is relentless. He is not willing to let you go. And as much as Jesus Christ wants to save you, that enemy wants to keep you unsaved, and that battle for your soul continues on, even after the seed of God's word has been planted in your heart. Do you believe that? He is, you know, he's an enemy. He's relentless. He is the hound of hell. And he's not a chihuahua or a sheltie. He is a pit bull. And when he grabs onto you, he is not willing to let you go. So I want to speak specifically to some of you guys who made a commitment. And I see you guys nodding at me. You've made a recent commitment to God. You've declared in your life, you know, you said, "I need a change." A lot of times we come because we're desperate. We go, "I don't know where else to go. Well, let's go to Potter's. You know, maybe something will happen there. I don't know." But you know, you've made a change in your life, and you said, somewhere along the line, you said, "I can't keep living this way. I can't keep doing the things I'm doing. The only hope I have is God." You've turned to God, and you go, "Whew, glad that's over." It's not over. I got bad news for you. There's an enemy who steals and he kills and he destroys, and that everything about him, his very essence, is that he wants you back. He's not willing. You know, he doesn't just put his hands in his pockets and go, "Oh, well, lost that one. That's too bad." You know, no, he's fighting for your soul. He's not willing to let you go. He's going to try to find a way. He's going to try to find a way to get you back. He's relentless. He's persistent. You know, I mean, honestly, if there's one thing that we know about Satan, if you read the whole Bible, is that he never gives up, does he? Like, he from the very beginning, he fell from heaven. He declared himself, you know, in opposition to God. He's never changed that stance in his whole life. He's been consistent, if nothing else. He's never said, "Oh, you know what, I blew it. I wish I wouldn't have done that." He's never repented. He's never turned to God and said, "Would you just please accept me? I should never have done what I've done." He's never done that. If there's one thing we know about our enemy, it's that he's incredibly stubborn, much more stubborn and relentless than we could ever imagine, and he's just as stubborn to have you in his grip. He really is. I want to talk a bit about how he works and how he fights and how he wars against us. And as we've been talking about earlier, there's a battle going on. I don't know if you're feeling it. I know that some of you really are. There's a battle to go back to where you came from. There's a lot of people who come to church, and you're going to have to bear with me. I'm not trying to be offensive, but there's a lot of people who come to church because they're desperate or they give their life to Christ, and they're doing pretty good for a week or two. And then after a little while, they go, "You know, I think I'm doing okay, and maybe I can miss this week, or maybe I don't need to read my Bible as much as I was doing it. I think I'm kind of planing out here. I'm doing all right. I'm doing okay." And you know what happens is I see this, believe me, I see this over and over and over again. People who at one time had a fire for God, a passion for God, they were desperate for God. And then the next thing you know, they've been lulled back into believing that, you know what, it wasn't as bad as I thought it was. I think I'm okay now. And I can walk away from God. And that's how the enemy works. He works in subtle ways. He works trying to get us to believe something that isn't true. He is a liar, the Bible says. At the very core of who he is, he's a deceiver and he's a liar. And he's lied to so many of you. And sometimes you got to come, you've been through this cycle. Some of you have been through the cycle 4 or 5 times and you keep giving your life to Christ and then you wander away. You got to hear me today when I tell you that what God's word is saying to you is that this enemy isn't going to stop. He isn't going to give up on you. And just because you feel safe or you think I'm okay now, you are not. You are not. You need to fight against him. You need to stand firm against him. We need to lock our shields together and stand against this enemy and not think that he is harmless or that he's a Sheltie, because he is not. He's a pit bull. And he hates you. He wants you destroyed. He is a prowling lion. You guys know these verses. He's a prowling, lying lion rolling about the earth seeking whom he can devour. One of the ways he does that is through discouragement. Boy, the Israelites were discouraged in this passage. And you can see why. I understand that discouragement. There's great discouragement. They were disheartened. And one of the ways that the enemy works, and this is just a quick sort of aside, but one of the things that's interesting in this passage is what he uses to kind of get under the skin of the Israelites. And what Pharaoh says, what does he say? What does he say about the Israelites? They were what? They were lazy. Now, I mean, imagine that. Of all the things that you could say about the Israelites, you could say a lot of things about them. You could say that they were slow or dim-witted or that they were not very popular. You could say that, you know, any number of those kinds of things. But you know, you really can't say that they're lazy. They were never a lazy people. They built that kingdom. They worked their fingers to the bone. And you know, what I'm trying to say, though, is that Satan, here's one of the things that he does, and maybe you're going to recognize that he's been doing this in your life this week. One of the things he does is he will attack you where you're doing the best, really. Where you're actually strong sometimes, he'll attack you. He said they were lazy. They weren't lazy at all. He'll attack you. Maybe you're a wonderful mother. You're a great mother, and you take pride in that. You work hard at being a really great mother, and someone, that whisper comes out, You're a lousy mother, or you're a poor dad. Man, that just, even though it's not true, right? Or you're a really good listener. I'm just trying to give you a couple of examples. You're a really good listener. You spend a lot of time with people. You pray with people. And then someone calls you a gossip. Oh, I mean, it is the furthest thing from the truth. But know this, Satan is not afraid to use the furthest thing from the truth. And even though we should be able to walk through life and go, you know what, that's not true. I'm not a gossip. I know I'm not a gossip. I know I tell the truth. We still take that dagger and it sticks in deeply because he will use the thing that is the furthest from the truth and he'll make us start to believe that very thing that just cuts to our core, that's who you are, when that is not. It is not who you are. Not who you are. Second thing. So just so you understand, he called them lazy. They weren't lazy. He's calling you something. I don't know what he's been calling you. Unfaithful, a bad mom, whatever. It's not true. Don't listen to it. But you know, the other thing that happens in this passage is that the enemy steals the promises of God. And that's how Satan works. He steals God's promises. He takes the word of God and he removes it from us. The people of Israel, they'd forgotten God. It'd been a long time. It had been hundreds of years. They'd forgotten the promises that God had made. Man, God's a God of promises, right? He had promised his people that he would bring them to a promised land. He promised them. He said, I make a covenant with you. I will be your God and you will be my people. There's all kinds of promises. God's word was in their hearts, but that word had been removed from their hearts because that's what the enemy does. Are you hearing this? What the enemy does is he wants to take the word that's been planted in you and he wants to take it out of you. And that's what he did with the Israelites. They no longer believed the promise. They stopped circumcising their children. They stopped living up to the covenant obligations that God had. And you know, it reminded me of Mark, in the Gospel of Mark, when Jesus tells the story about the seed and the sower. You remember that seed? And he says the sower goes out and he sows seed and it falls on different kinds of ground. And there's some seed that grows up and it's strong and it bears fruit. But there's other seed that doesn't. And some of it gets choked out. Some of it gets lost because of the worries of life or because of trials and tribulations. Well, you can go into this whole thing. That's a whole other sermon. But here's one, just one verse I want to read for you. And you got it right there. That the farmer sows the word, Mark says, or Jesus said. The farmer sows the word. Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. And as soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Isn't that something? I don't know that that verse ever hit me like it did this week. That Satan comes and he can take away the word. Satan can take away the word that is sown in you. And that's what he wants to do. He does. He wants to take away the truth. He wants to remove the word, that seed that's in you. One of the reasons why I wanted us to spend some time just sharing the scriptures this morning is, and sharing the verses that are important in our lives is because we need to know that there's power in the word of God. Amen? There's power in God's word. And when we don't invest ourselves in God's word, when we think it's not important anymore to read the scriptures or to be a part of a Bible study or to go to church, when that word can actually be stolen out of our hearts, according to what Jesus said in this parable. And how valuable God's word is in fighting against the devil and fighting against the enemy. Jesus, when he was tempted in the desert, you know what happened there. He spoke God's word three times. He didn't give the devil all kinds of other words. He just said, here's what the word says. This is what the scripture says. Let me tell you what the Bible says. Why do we think that we can do it any other way? We need, it is written, we need to know God's word, and we do not know God's word well enough. We do not. Do we spend time? Every day, do you spend time in God's word? Do you spend time listening to God? And you know, it's not just about Bible knowledge. Bible knowledge is great. It's good to know what the Bible says, but it's more about direction. You know, I need to read God's word so that I hear what he says to me this day. God, what do you want me to do? And he says, here, Stan, here's who I am, or here's what I want you to do. Go here, do this. Listening to God, let the word of God and the spirit of God work together to move us, to direct us, to lead us where he wants us to be. We will never be strong. I'm going to say this clear as I can. You will never be strong against the wiles of the enemy unless you have God's word. Unless you have God's word firmly planted in your hearts. You need to know his word. We need to encourage each other in this word. This is not just a book. This is not just a book. This is the divine word of God. This is truth. We need to know this. And I'm telling you as your pastor that we don't know it well enough. We don't. We need to, and I'm sorry if that's a hard message to swallow. We need to be more in the word. We need to be understanding that this is a lamp unto my feet. It's a light to my pathway. Thank you, God. So, the enemy, if you're following me here, he attacks us. And he's like Pharaoh. We learn about how Satan works in our lives by the way Satan worked, or the way Pharaoh worked in the lives of the people of Israel. He would not let them go. He won't let you go. He's not going to be willing to let you go. Thank God we have a Redeemer who's much stronger and much greater than this enemy, right? And that we're saved, you know, by the power of his grace. How do you know, I want to move on, how do we know when we are being attacked by the enemy? How do you know when you're going through one of those kind of trials in your life? I think the answer to that question is, you know it by the kind of question you start asking. And if you find yourself lately, you're asking a lot of why questions. A lot of times if you're asking a lot of why questions, it's because you're really under attack and you're starting to feel sorry for yourself. You're starting to feel bad, right? Why, Lord? Why me? Why are all these things happening? And again, we're back to the Word of God. If you you saw what Moses and Aaron said to God. You know, why, God? Why did you send me? They know that they were being attacked. They know that Pharaoh was standing against them. And what did they say to God? Why, God? Why are you sending me? Why do I even bring in this message, God? We get stuck in that sometimes, right? We get stuck in the self-pity. We've all got reasons to say why, God. You know, there's a lot more, there's other questions besides why. We should be asking questions like who? Who, God? Who are you? What is your nature? What is your essence? Who are you? You know, or where, God? There's a good question. Where, God? Where do you want to send me? Where are you, God? Where is a good question. And why? Sometimes why is a good question. It's all right to ask God why. But if you find yourself lately, and all you're saying is why all the time. Why, God? Why me? Why is my life so miserable? How come things aren't working, God? Why don't you speak? Why don't you answer me, God? Why, Lord? Why? It's maybe because you are so self-absorbed. Because that's what why does. Why makes us self-absorbed. You're just thinking about yourself. You're not remembering all the things that God has done in the past for you. So we know when we're being attacked because we're starting to ask those why questions. And I know from you guys, I know that some of us have really good reason to ask some why questions. There's some hard things going on. There's some hard issues in our lives. There's some brokenness. There's marriages that are falling apart. There's things going on with our children and grandchildren. There's sickness. You know, we ask why, God? Why is this happening to my friend? Why I've had cancer for this many years? Today, though, I want you to ask a what question. And I hope you're following me. That the question needs to change in our lives today. And the question today is really more about a what than a why. And here is the question. This is the question that I believe God's word compels us to ask. And the question is this. What is holding your brick together? What's holding your brick together? The Israelites asked a lot of questions. Why, God? Why don't we get straw? Why do we have to go look for straw everywhere? Because you know what straw did for the brick. I think you all understood that the brick is held together by straw. Without the straw, the brick can't be a brick. It's just a pack of mud. So the question I have for you today is, what's holding your brick together? When the straw gets removed from your life, what holds your life together? What holds your life together? I have just a little bit of mortar that I found out of some bricks in the backyard. This is just mortar, and it's just made with sand and cement, but you see, I know that our janitor won't be happy with that, but sorry. But you know, this isn't strong. Mortar isn't very strong, but if you put rocks with it, it gets stronger. If you put steel or rods, you know, steel rods with it, some rebar, it gets even stronger yet. You put some mesh with it, you can make this stronger. The Israelites were being asked to make bricks without straw, and those bricks, you can't make a brick without straw. And I guess the question is, so what about you? What about your life? What's holding your life together? Yeah, you're jumping ahead of me. And Jesus, you know, we're going to talk about Jesus, but sometimes there's other things in our lives that we think are holding our lives together. We think, well, my money. The money I have is holding my life together. It just gives me this sense of satisfaction, and I feel good about it. But you know what? Your money will never hold your life together. It never will. Or my physique. I work out in a gym. Can you tell? What do you mean, no? Right? But some people think, you know, this is what my life is about. I can't wait to get to the gym. I want to pump some iron. I want to eat properly. I want to exercise. This is what's holding my life together. No, it's not. You know what? Eventually, it's going to sag. Whatever it is, it's going to sag. Right? And that's true for even things that are really honorable in our lives and that we even really cherish, like our children or our marriage. You know, and I'm so glad I have wonderful children and a great wife, but my marriage is not the straw. I'm sorry, honey. My marriage is not the straw that holds my brick together. Only Jesus Christ is the brick that holds my life together. Only Jesus Christ is the cohesion. That's what that word is, right? That's what the straw did. It was a catalyst. It made it strong, stronger than you can ever imagine. And some of those things that they built, they're still standing today. That's how strong it is. We look at other things in our lives. We look at our career, maybe. You go, there's a lot of career people. And that's good. It's good to have a career. It's good to have an education. And it's good that you're doing something. You're serving. But even that doesn't hold my life. Your career will not hold your brick together. It might be a good thing to have. But the real question is, what is the essence of who you are?
What is the essence? What is it that really makes up your being and that holds you together? What is it that keeps you intact when everything else around you is not intact? And the answer is the Lord. The answer is it's my faith. All I have that really is going to last is my faith in Jesus Christ. Can you say amen to that? The Bible, Paul says that it is in Christ that I move and I breathe and I have my being. Can I say that again? That's that mortar. That's that straw. That's the rock, right? In Him I move and I live and I have my being. And only in Him. Not in all my accomplishments. Not in my degree from seminary. Not even, this is a surprise, not even in the church. I do not find my brick held together because of the church. I find my brick held together because of Christ. And part of the reason why I bring that up is because somewhere along the line this week, I had asked myself that question. Okay, Stan, great, you can say all these nice words, but what about you? What's holding your brick together? And one of the things that came to mind was the church. Because I'll be honest, I've invested a lot of me into this church. And I love this church. I love these people. I love this ministry. I'm excited for what God is doing. I've put many years into this, and it's become something that I treasure. And God said, yeah, it's not me, though. It's not me. And one day it could crumble. And if it does, what happens if it crumbles? Will you crumble? Will your faith crumble? It is only in Christ that I breathe and live and I have my being. And the church will always disappoint you. Some of you have been saying that to me this week. You know, you've run into some of us. Oops. And I've heard some of the stories, you know. I'm disappointed with these Christians. They didn't treat me well. They're hypocrites. They're letting me down. Yeah. So, don't put your faith in the church. Jesus actually never told us to bring people to church. We get this wrong. He didn't say bring people to church. He said bring people to me. And we need to know that it is Jesus Christ who is central. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the dearest frame, but something about Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Are you getting this? This is about Jesus. It's about Jesus. It's about Jesus. My hope is in Jesus Christ, and it is nowhere else. It doesn't mean I don't have a career or I don't have a good marriage. It doesn't mean that I don't love my kids or my grandkids. It doesn't mean that I'm not interested in my health or my physical well-being. But what it means is that He is my heartbeat. Jesus is my all in all. He's my portion. Jesus. Is the solid rock. He's a solid rock. Amen. And that's God's word today. It's a question, you know, Pharaoh asked the who question. Who is this God? That's what Satan does, right? Who is this God? And I don't know who this God is. The Israelites, and especially Moses and Aaron, they asked the why question. Why me, Lord? What did I ever do? That's the why question. Why, God? Why me? Why are you making me do this? By the way, it's the same question Adam and Eve asked back in the garden. This is the why question is the question that goes with our sinful nature. Why can't I eat of this apple? Why not? Why can't I have this good and evil knowledge? Right? They asked the why question. The right question today is the what. What's holding your brick together? What is keeping your life intact? Amen? Would you pray with me? Thank you, God. Lord, sometimes when everything else gets removed, that's a hard, hard thing, but there is still you. And we forget that. We miss it. We don't see it. Forgive us for that, God. I pray that, Lord, you will make us to be real lovers of your word, deep in your word, deep in Bible study, that we remember the message, the sermon last week and the week before and a month ago, God. We don't just let that fly away. We ponder your word. We grow in your word. and we withstand the flaming darts of the enemy with the sword of the Spirit. Thank you, God. And Lord, remind us today that when everything else is removed, we still have you. And that it is you who holds my life intact. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I pray finally, God, just there's some people here today. They're so new. This is so fresh. They're just coming to figure you out. They're just coming to understand what a wonder it is to have you living in our lives and what an amazing, amazing God you are. God, I pray that the fire that is burning inside of them will be a fire that continues to grow and that they'll fan that flame by the power of your Holy Spirit and the power of your Holy Word. That we won't think that we're doing okay and we don't need you anymore. Forgive us for that folly. Oh God, remind us that that enemy is on us. He wants us back. He wants us back doing all that stuff we used to do. All the stuff you delivered and you saved us from. We belong to you. You call us by name. Right now, God, I pray they'll just hear you speak our name with your words, with your voice. You call us by name. You say Mitch and Stan, Adam, Chris, Bill, you are mine. John, you're mine. Fabian, you belong to me. You are mine. I am your father. You are my child. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I'm just going to ask you just to stay seated. And Jabin's going to lead us in a song. That there's going to be two songs. Yeah, just plug it into the other one. This is a song we don't know yet. We're going to listen to it, and then we're going to learn it, and then we're going to do the Bless the Lord again one more time. So just sit for the first time, and then we'll stand and sing it. We sing this as a response, right? We sing this because we worship God. Remember what the Israelites did. They worshiped God. We don't have it on the screen anymore, but as soon as they knew and they believed, they worshiped God. So just listen to this. I'll help you. Just let him go through it first a little bit.
Okay, well, I was asked to do this. I'm excited to. What was talked about today had to do with God's love. And this song is called The Same Love. It's an awesome song, and I hope I'll play it through, play once through, and maybe we can join me. He chose the humble and raised them high. He chose the weak and make them strong. You heal our brokenness inside and give us life. The same love that set the captives free. The same love that opens eyes to see is calling us all by name. You are calling us all by name. The same God that spread the heavens wide, the same God that was crucified is calling us all by name. You are calling us all by name. You take the faithless. You take the faithless one aside. Speak the words. You are mine. You call the cynic and the proud. Come to me now. The same love that sets the captives free. The same love that opens eyes to see is calling us all by name. You are calling us all by name. The same God that spread the heavens wide, the same God that was crucified is calling us all by name. You are calling us all by name. Okay, here we go. Oh, 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 oh. You're calling, you're calling, you're calling us to the cross. You're calling, you're calling, you're calling us to the cross.
Let's sing this out.
You're calling, you're calling, you're calling us to the cross.
One more time.
You're calling, you're calling, you're calling us.
The same love. Here we go.
The same love that sets the captives free. The same love that opened eyes to see is calling us all by name. You are calling us all by name. The same God that spread the heavens wide. The same God that was crucified is calling us all by name.
Let's all stand.
You are calling us all by name. The same love that set the captives free, the same love that opens eyes to see is calling us all by name. You are calling us all by name. The same God that spread the heavens wide, the same God that was crucified is calling us all by name. You are calling us all by name.
Let's try this again.
Oh, 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 oh. Calling, you're calling, you're calling us to the cross. You're calling, you're calling, you're calling us to the cross.
Let's sing this out.
You're calling, you're calling, you're calling us to the cross. You're calling, you're calling, you're calling us to the cross.
Amen. Thank you, God. Have you heard from God today? He's faithful. He speaks through His Word. And if you need prayer, you know, we're going to be dismissed here in a moment, but if you need prayer, you just need to come. You need someone to give you a hug. You just need to ask God to give you new direction or new hope. I can't do that for you, but God can. We're sure happy to pray with you. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you. May God give you His amazing, everlasting peace. God loves you. God bless you. Amen.
Bless the Lord. Let's sing this out.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul, worship your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing a song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, worship Your holy name. You're rich in love and you're slow to anger.
Your name is great
and your heart is kind. For all your goodness I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship His holy name.
We worship You, God.
Sing like never before, oh my soul, worship Your holy name. And on that day when my strength is failing, the end draws near and my time has come, still my soul will sing Your great unending. 10,000 years and then forevermore. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, worship Your holy name.
Sing this out.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, worship Your holy name. Worship Your holy name. Worship Your holy name.